What is going on, everybody? Happy Memorial Day weekend. Going a little early this week. Partly it's the podcast business. We can do whatever we want. And I'm headed to Scottsdale Memorial Day weekend. Can't freaking wait. Going to play a little golf. I'm going to drink a few pops, have a few cold ones, and enjoy myself. I hope you have a great freaking weekend and have a good time. We all deserve it. You know, let your hair down. If I had any hair, I would let it down. Try to keep this podcast short, to the point. Some Rodgers drama. Middlecoff mailbag at John Middlecoff is the Instagram handle. Slide up in those DMs, fire a question, and get your question read here. Pretty easy. If you're listening on Collins' feed, what I need you to do, subscribe to the 3 and Out feed. That helps. Greatly appreciate that. If you like the show, I know a lot of people do. And yeah, let's rock and roll. Let's start with Aaron Rodgers and the building drama. As of recording this on Wednesday, it just got announced he's in the match with Mickelson and Tom Brady and Bryson DeChambeau. But those guys are all tweeting about it. He's off in Hawaii. The viral videos, him with the dude, in the movie star, Miles Teller. I actually met him at the Super Bowl a couple years ago. Nice guy. I think he's in the Top Gun movie that's supposed to come out soon. He's been in other movies. Good actor. There with his fiance, Teller's wife. You never know in the Hollywood circles. This is the way rich people vacation. Sometimes different stuff happens. I'm not trying to pass any judgment. I don't know what's going on. I have no issue with him skipping minicamp. Minicamps were not made for Aaron Rodgers, right? Minicamps were not even Tom Brady's. Like, those guys, I got no issue. None. Now, that doesn't mean they have a problem on their hands. Rodgers is not happy. He wants the general manager fired. He wants Murphy fired. He wants the president and GM gone. I think that much is pretty well established now. To me, though, it got real on Tuesday of OTAs when Adam Schefter tweeted out that all 5 wide receivers, Devontae and the other 4, did not show up either. Devontae Adams, who I think is in the offseason, lives down the street from me in Dublin, maybe, or Danville, Pleasanton, plays a lot of golf in the East Bay. He had a $600,000 workout bonus. So him showing up, Devontae, like, I don't care who you are, whether you make $14 million a year or you make $5 a year, $600,000, obviously if you made $5 a year, $600,000 would be a lot. But I think some people would be like, you know, he makes $15, what's $600,000? $600,000 is a lot of money, right? You can do a lot with $600,000. You invest in the right cryptocurrency, turn that bad boy into about 10. So him not showing up is like, whoa. And the other 4 guys? To me, officially, the Green Bay Packers have a disaster on their hands. And listen, I don't know Brian Gutekunst. Never met the guy. Think he's done a pretty solid job. I've said this over and over and over again. He made an educated guess, and he shorted Rodgers' career like a stock. I don't even think it was that crazy of an educated guess. Aaron, their first year there, when he was the GM and LaFleur was the coach, looked a little off. He looked like he was declining. Even though they made the championship game and he had a pretty good statistical year, anyone that watched Aaron Rodgers, I know any Packer fan would agree, it looked weird. And they bet that it was going to trend the wrong way. And Aaron Rodgers turned into like GameStop. I mean, he threw it right back in their face and won the MVP. But they made an educated decision. Actions have consequences, good and bad. Right? If Rodgers had fallen off a cliff and Jordan Love looked like a budding star, you'd been called a genius. We all make decisions in everything we do. Depending on what job you have, some decisions are different than others. Right? If you're just a sales guy, how are you going to pitch your client? If you're the CEO, what businesses do you want to be in? What is your company going to stand for? If you're going to ask someone to marry you, right? That's a pretty big decision. If you make the wrong decision and marry the wrong person, that has a lot of consequences. Personal, financial, like Gutekunst made a decision. I supported him when he drafted a quarterback. But a year later, it's a devastating decision. It has backfired. They have a fucking serious problem now in the building. Because Jordan Love, to me, Rodgers not showing up wouldn't become a real issue until training camp, right? If he doesn't show up at training camp, then it's like, okay, is he going to miss games? Like, it's an issue. Right now, who cares? It is irrelevant. Especially because your first-round quarterback from a year ago could get all the reps. Last year with Corona, no offseason, no preseason games. It's like he could rep it out. Throw with some of these wide receivers. Then the wide receivers didn't show up. They can say whatever they want. yesterday in Packerland, Lombardi Way, whatever the street is, the building was, I mean, they got a problem. I mean, the alarm is going off. And listen, the Packers are the most unique organization in sports. They do not have an owner. One thing we know, just put yourself, if you own the Packers, what would the first thing you would do, assuming you like Gutekunst and you like Mark Murphy? You would get them all in a room. You know what rich people, rich, powerful people usually do? They don't like screwing up the golden goose. So they will do whatever it takes to figure out a solution. Guess what they don't have right now in the building? Anyone that can act as an intermediary to go, hey, Aaron, I'm going to fly you out. I'm going to fly Gutekunst out. Can we meet in LA? Can we meet in Arizona? Where do you want to meet? We will meet you there. This is big business. Here's the other thing. Gutekunst might be, I saw Jim Nagy, who runs the Senior Bowl, tweeting that like Gutekunst is a high character guy. People really like him. And listen, I have no personal interaction with him. But here's what I do know. There is no preparation. I was watching LaFleur talk yesterday. Like, you don't teach you as an assistant coach how to handle these situations. You could see it on his face. Like, we got a problem. What am I supposed to do? You know, there's nothing I can do. He hates my bosses, the guys I work with. Well, I don't have the power to fire them. I don't even want to fire them, but how am I supposed to fix the situation? It's like, no one's ever taught me this when I was a quarterback coach or an offensive coordinator. What they don't teach you as a general manager is, as a scout coming up, like you spend a lot of time in dark rooms evaluating players. The job as a GM is to placate with agents. You need the agents. They have all the players. And back in the day, there was like this adversarial relationship between GMs and agents. The best GMs now are close with agents. Belichick, like he has very good working relationships with agents. Very. The Steelers, like you have operate like that. They are part of the lifeblood. They don't teach you how to do that. They don't teach you as a scout in a dark room how to deal with these situations. There is the only way that you can be prepared for this is if in your personality, you kind of have some of that in you. I've given Mike Mayock and John Gruden a hard time the last couple of years because their struggle in the draft. I don't think they work agents well enough. That's part working the agents, working the media leading up to the draft is understanding the value of players. Right? That's just part of the job. Mike Mayock, I would imagine, doesn't like dealing with agents. I don't necessarily blame him, but he's the general manager. Like, that's part of his gig. And Brian Gutekunst, like, you can say, well, why did he have to talk to Aaron Rodgers? Well, yeah, he didn't, and now it's backfired. Because you're like, the almighty, I'm in charge. Well, not really, because they don't fire players who are as great as Aaron Rodgers. Now, because the Packers don't have an owner, there's no one to fire Brian Gutekunst. But here's what we know. And if you're listening, if you're a Packer fan or just an NFL fan, if Gutekunst was fired, if the President Murphy was fired, not a fucking soul would notice tomorrow. If Aaron Rodgers is traded, every single person notices and your team's way worse off. And now, is your locker room split? Because the wide receivers, you can say whatever they want. You know, they're not doing this in solidarity for Aaron. Bullshit. Like, it's pretty clear what's going on here. So the wide receivers aren't showing up, meaning Jordan Love, the reps he's getting, who's he throwing to? Some guy that's going to be an insurance salesman? Another guy that's going to work for UBS in the fall? Because we already argue that the Packers wide receivers aren't that great, so the guys that actually are on the 53-man roster aren't even there. So and it's not like you can use those roster spots to sign five more wide receivers. They don't have any roster spots. Those guys are still taking up five of the 90-man spots. You need other positions to run a practice. So you have probably, instead of having 10 wide receivers at practice, you have five wide receivers at practice. Three of them will never sniff the NFL. Two might be practice squad guys. That's who Jordan Love gets to like have his reps, which are very important for him. Back to what I'm saying. There is no owner to fix this issue, to just set up a meeting. You know, mob style. Can we get a sit down? If you've ever watched a mob movie, sometimes in sit downs, no one dies. You figure out problems. You figure out, you know, the percentages. Who gets what, right? That's a number one trait in a scene in a mob movie is a sit-down. Every single one. Well, what do you think happens in businesses? They need sit-downs all the time. Because we talked about this earlier with the OTAs, the compromise. You need some compromise here. You need people to talk it out. Lay everything out on the table. Right now, and in fairness to the Packers, Aaron Rodgers, you're going to go on Kenny Mayne. I've never been a big believer. Like, if you're going to talk your shit, just talk your shit. Say what you truly believe. If you're gonna, if you hate the general manager, just put it on the table. He kind of half-assed it. And this gets back to what I've said from the jump. Do you know what Aaron Rodgers does not want? And I don't necessarily blame him, because I think it's a natural human desire, is to be liked, right? We all want to be liked in our neighborhood, in our profession, by our peers, by our wife's family, whatever. We just, it's a natural human desire to be liked. Well, if you're a player, who do you want to be liked by the most? Your fan base. Who does Aaron Rodgers happen to play for? One of the biggest fan bases in the league. A historic one. He doesn't want to burn bridges and go out and look like an asshole. So he's trying to orchestrate this move, whatever it is, whether it's to Denver, the Raiders, who still is a little head-scratching, like his team's really good, but it is what it is. That's his truth, right? But he refuses to say really what he thinks. So I think it's, he's not going Russell Wilson, where it's just pure, like, cliche BS. He's actually speaking like a human being, but he's kind of beating around the bush. Just say what you say. Just say, listen, I can't stand the general manager. At least it would give some clarity, like, we get it. But if you're not going to say that, like, I think you're leaving all these fans kind of in limbo, and eventually, the longer this drip, drip, drip goes, it's just going to get weird for him. It just is. And to me, the only way he can really force their hand is, even if he doesn't show up for mandatory minicamp, who cares? To practice in the, you know, early June. Is he not going to show up at training camp? Because if he doesn't, then the Packers, I don't know what they do. Me personally, like, I'm sorry, Gutekunst, you're gone. Because like I said, there ain't a soul, not one fan, not one season ticket holder, not one opposing coach would notice Gutekunst not being there if Aaron Rodgers under center. But every team in the league right now, especially every team that has the Packers on their schedule, is praying to the heavens that they trade him. And they get Jordan Love. That's what every team in the league wants. So if push comes to shove, am I going to trade Aaron Rodgers? I'm going to fire Brian Gutekunst. Hey, Brian, it's been real, buddy. Godspeed. Good luck. You can put us on your list of recommendations. Have them call us, right? Not Rodgers, but call us. I don't even know who that us is, but that's where it's going. Because these viral videos in Hawaii, like, Rodgers is kind of a weird cat. You know, he's different. He's a little out there. This notion of, too, that I love, is like, they just want what Tom Brady wants. Yeah, when did Tom ever do this? Well, Tom didn't operate like this, ever. He butted heads with Bill, but he always showed up. I guess he maybe missed offseason that one year, but he never demanded a trade or for anyone to get fired. Maybe he demanded Jimmy to get traded once, but I don't necessarily blame him on that one. There's a big difference if Aaron demanded Jordan Love to get fired than the GM to get fired. It's a little bizarre. It doesn't happen that often. But just where you're at. If I was a Packer fan, I'd be a little nervous with this whole situation because their organization's old school. I don't predict or think that they're going to fire Gutekunst. Murphy, you know, it's weird. He's like the boss, but like he doesn't own the team, right? It's like you don't fucking own this team. It's not your name on those paychecks, buddy. You're just as replaceable as the next guy, right? Aaron Rodgers deep down knows that of the power brokers, right? Murphy, Gutekunst, even the head coach. Now, granted, he got the head coach's backs and he loves the coaching staff. And Aaron, those three are infinitely more replaceable than Aaron Rodgers. And he knows it. And he's not wrong. He's right. Because anyone listening to this, if you had to choose, you would take Rodgers over all three of those guys combined without hesitation. And deep down, those individuals know it's true. So I this situation that once the wide receivers come, you know, don't show up, I don't really know what the end game is here, but I just know the Packers have a massive, massive problem on their hands.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Okay, let's just Middlecoff mailbag. I'm going to bang out a bunch of questions. We're pretty deep. At John Middlecoff is the Instagram handle. And you guys know the drill. Let's start with Gio. Got a FF question. For the boomers out there, that's fantasy football. Dynasty League. Started off season with Barkley and Gore as running backs. During off season, I traded away Claypool, Gallup, Keenan Allen, and Derek Carr for Mixon, Swift, and Dobbins. Am I a terrible GM? Yeah. I still have Jefferson, Diggs, Ridley, Robert Woods, and D. Johnson as wide receivers. You're in good shape. I mean, I think Carr's pretty consistent. Keenan Allen, Claypool could just keep booming. Risky move. I wouldn't have done it, but, you know, fantasy football. Whatever. Love the pod. Huge Rams fan and wanted to hear your honest opinion on how far you see them going Matt Stafford's first year with the team. Do you think they gave up too much for a guy, in my opinion, has been a good quarterback his entire career, rather than great? It's definitely an upgrade from Goff, though. Do you see Stafford possibly guiding the Rams to that coveted Super Bowl title the Rams are looking for? Well, Jared was starting quarterback on a Super Bowl team. That team was probably deeper than this year's team, but this year's team's really good. Matt Stafford is a dramatic upgrade over Jared Goff. You know, I think one of his biggest proponents has been Aaron Rodgers over the years. Because when you play for Detroit, like, we just don't watch many Lions games. Unless you're a diehard Lions fan, they're playing at 10 a.m. every week. Their team sucks. They're not a team that plays on a lot of primetime games. We just don't see them that often. But my buddies in the league, I mean, I have obviously no Nagy with the Bears, but I have a couple scouting buddies there too. They love Matt Stafford. So Matt Stafford's upside with Sean McVay, who is clearly a dynamic young elite coach. Like, Sean McVay is a dominant little coach. Don't get it twisted. They have won 4 straight years, and the 1 year they didn't make the playoff, they went 9-7. I love that. What do you do when you're off here? Do you go 3 wins? Like, the 1 year the Chiefs didn't make the playoffs since Andy's been in Kansas City, they went 9-7. Belichick's worst year in 20 years, 7-9. Do you win 2 or 3 games? Because elite coaches don't have 2 or 3 games in the bag. When shit hits the fan, Sean Payton, for those years, like 7-9, 8-8. When their defense was historically poor. That's what elite coaches do. You get them a guy like Matt Stafford, their offense is going to be really good. To me, I question their defense, right? They lose Brandon Staley to the Chargers. They're just very top-heavy. They lose Johnson, the safety, to the Browns. They've just lost, you know, Littleton a couple years ago. It's just kind of a war of attrition. Now they got 2 elite players. Donald, one of the greatest players ever. Ramsey, best corner in the league. But if one of those guys, like, has a major injury, you're in trouble. I think they are probably, I'd probably have them as the favorite to win the NFC West. Hi, John. Love the pod. Just curious how you legally do your sports gambling living in California. Do you use a VPN or is there an app that allows that I'm unaware of? Well, I personally gamble on MyBookie. That's where I gamble. And you can gamble. It's international. So I do my gambling from California. These arbitrary rules that we live at a big time. I my cousin is building this this like commercial building in the Central Valley. And forever, casinos in California, you had to be on Indian reservations. They have the market cornered. They have a monopoly. The only people that can legally gamble in California are the Indian reservations. They don't get taxed either. It's a pretty good gig. But eventually, it's going to be up. And they're building an Indian casino off the reservation, just like right next to Fresno. And eventually, right now, the Indians are paying California a lot of money, so we don't pass gambling to be legal, but it's coming. We'll be the last state just because, you know, the Indian casinos in California make a shitload of money. But, you know, the ball's going to roll, and they should embrace it. Like, as someone told me, like, the tribes don't create these casinos. Vegas does. Like MGM, the Wynn, like those companies, the corporations fund these ones out here. So I don't know why I'm getting off on this tangent. It always pisses me off. Let's just make it legal. Every state's making it legal. Why don't we embrace it? Arizona's got a bunch of indie casinos too. They made gambling legal, sports gambling. The cards, I mean, I like playing blackjack as much as the next guy, but just make sports gambling legal. This shouldn't be that complicated. The problem is going to be once California does it, the tax rates are probably going to be out of control. So my bookie. A roundabout way of saying it. It's a topic I'm passionate about. I just want casinos in the state of California. Is that much to ask for? Really? Now, I long question here. Sending in a question to the mailbag. I've been thinking about the direction of the NFL. I worry the focus on offense and making quarterbacks the single most important player will hurt the league in the long run. I know quarterback has always held the most important position on the field. However, the rule changed will lead the end of parity in teams.
I can easily see the league following the NBA blueprint and being player-focused instead of team-focused. What do you think? Another problem I see is the middle-of-the-road quarterbacks look like superstars. We can relate this to central bank business. I major in econ. When the Fed applies easy money policies, think low interest rates, bond and mortgage-backed securities purchase can lead to zombie companies. A zombie company is when a business that should have failed in the free market survives because they are held up by Fed policies. This is a misallocation of resources and hurts the economy. I believe the new rules will have, I'm just laughing because it's a pretty good analogy. An example, Jared Goff and the Rams. Goff looked like a superstar quarterback, gets way overpriced. This hurts the team. They miscalculate the funds. I get what you're saying. I actually was bored the other day and I watched the Enron documentary on Amazon Prime. Fascinating. Really just Kenneth Lay, this other dude named Lau, Jeffrey Skillings. I mean, some of these names that I had forgot of watching that documentary. God, like Enron was crazy. Of course, you know, what state got played by them? Us out west, California. The rolling blackouts led to Arnold Schwarzenegger being the governor. Just an incredible trip down memory lane. It's the thing that like Madoff used to pull off, even Enron. And Enron did it when in 98, 99, 2000, 2001. This stuff to pull off, Madoff, Enron, with technology now, it'd be fucking impossible. Absolutely impossible. It'd be like, well, what do your books say? It's like, give me your balance sheet. They would never be able to pull this stuff off now. So as much as technology can drive us all crazy, it's like Bernie Madoff could not function in today's climate because he would get exposed. He'd be like, well, let me see the stock. Let me see the books, right? It's like, well, I got it in my binder. Let me get my pen and pencil out. No, it's just give me the passcode. Let me see what you're doing, right? It's the stuff you could pull off back in the day was pretty incredible. You know, I don't think that's true. I mean, the Patriots kicked everyone's ass for 20 years and the NFL dominated. Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers have been the best quarterbacks for 20 years. The thing with football, if you have a great defense, if you have other good players, if you have great coaching, coaching matters. You know, in the NBA, let's face it, coaching's not that important. If you give me LeBron, you give me just start Steph Curry, you give me, I mean, Steph Curry made Mark Jackson look good. James Harden dominates with anybody. In baseball, managers make like $700,000. Gabe Kapler, I don't think, makes $1 million. He's irrelevant. Absolutely irrelevant. The days of managers in baseball making $5, $6 million is over. Dead. Football coaches matter. Coaches can overcome. Kyle Shanahan made the Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo as his quarterback. Sean McVay made it with Jared Goff. Sean McVay won all those games with Jared Goff. Think about that. So coaches are superstars too. Now, coaches' salaries are going to keep going up, but the great part, that doesn't impact the salary cap. I see what you're saying. I wouldn't worry about that. Because even an average guy, like, you can win with Jared Goff. The Rams won, right? The Rams were successful. The Vikings with Kirk Cousins. They've been very good on offense, right? So I'm probably going to start my own sports podcast, but I have no idea where to start. Do you have any suggestions? My recommendation would be a couple things. I mean, I use pretty basic stuff. I use GarageBand. I use this Zoom, this recorder that plugs into my computer, that plugs into like a mic that you would see on television. So it's a good auxiliary mic. And I use an Apple computer. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. It's not very complicated. And I just start it and see how it goes. Hey, John, relatively new fan of the pod and love what you're doing. Keep up the good work. I have a coward type analogy I've been sitting on and wanted to run it by you. A football legend makes waves coming to a historically bad franchise in Florida, hoping to take the culture he's built in years past and bring it to a new team. Doing so is no small task. And to help make the transition easier, he brings on a retired football legend to help spread the culture gospel in the locker room. The retired player is past his prime, but the most of the media acknowledges bringing him isn't what he adds on the field, but rather the intangibles off of it. Now, who do I just describe? Was Brady bringing Gronk to the Bucks, or is that Urban bringing Tebow to the Jags? Because the narrative fits both situations and is only 1 year removed from each other. I gotta pump the brakes on this analogy. Comparing Gronkowski to Tim Tebow is insane. Rob Gronkowski is one of the greatest players in the history of the league. He is a champion several times over and was before he ever showed up with Tampa Bay. He was an elite, let me repeat, elite player for the New England Patriots. An absolute gamer, an overall, I mean, you could argue pound for pound when he was healthy, he was the most dominant tight end we've ever seen. So it's like Tebow never really pissed a drop in the league. He won the 1 year quarterback for Denver. I don't know how he did it, but his stats were terrible. He's never played tight end in his life. Culture, Rob Gronkowski walks in with pelts on the wall. So when he talks, people listen. Why would Trevor Lawrence listen to Tim Tebow? What is Tim Tebow? So I see what you're saying, but I don't think that works because I don't think Bruce Arians accomplished way more. Tom Brady, it just, Urban Meyer's never coached in the NFL, you know? Paying guys to come to Florida and Ohio State is a lot different than paying guys a premium in the pros. So I good effort. I give you an A for effort. Lifelong Eagles fan, and I'm wondering when you think the rebuild and title contention will start again. We are way over the cap and losing Zach Ertz. Zach Ertz still on the team. Free agents starts like Julio Jones want to go to winning organizations. Not only can we not get free agents and stars, but we have a first-time head coach and everyone is concerned about. Yeah, I mean, you're a couple years away. I mean, you're not going to be a championship contender with Jalen Hurts. I don't know. Howie might not like me saying that, but I'm not a Jalen Hurts guy. Now, I think Howie is equipped. They got three first-rounders next year, right? You trade Wentz, you got that first-rounder. You make the trade back with the Miami Dolphins, you got that first-rounder. And you got your own first-rounder. So if the Deshaun Watson situation ever plays itself out, maybe they could sniff around Aaron Rodgers. They have options. Having three first-round picks is never a bad thing. So if you do have a quarterback crisis, which potentially they might have, you can pivot off it when you have three first-round picks. I discovered your show just recently and enjoyed a lot. Greetings from Lithuania. Greetings. It is uncharted territory for my Browns having a quarterback. Agree. Head coach and core group of players in the same building for two seasons in a row. Is it possible to tell how much this continuity may increase the chances of OBJ and Baker finally getting on the same page on the field? Well, I think OBJ needs to be healthy. He's coming off a torn knee. So what's his health status? I think the offense is very conducive to a guy like Odell Beckham should fit it in this offense. You have tight ends. You have a great running game. The way this offense works, the zone scheme, the Shanahan, just kind of that, what Stefanski runs. If you can run the ball, wide receivers get wide open. And a guy like Odell Beckham, Odell Beckham's a little more hype now than good player. Like, his hype exceeds his production, who he actually is as a player. Really good talent, but he ain't Keenan Allen. He ain't Devontae Adams. He ain't Julio Jones. Like, eventually you got to produce. But his hype, because of the one-handed catch in New York, is really strong. I like Odell Beckham. But I think we talk about him like he's a top-five wide receiver. He hasn't been a top-five wide receiver in like 5 years. So the great part is for you, it doesn't even matter. If Odell Beckham gives you like 60 catches, it's all gravy. Because you were good last year without him. I saw the Julio Jones thing. I saw Florio just wrote, I haven't read the article, that the NFL is mad. You think the NFL cares about Shannon Sharp calling about Julio Jones? Give me a break. You don't think Julio Jones knew he was being called? Now the Falcons, the Falcons are mad. The Falcons, you keep fucking leaking that you're going to trade him. I love it when teams get mad, or just any human in life, like when they don't get to control it anymore. Like, no, you're just obsessed with control. You're obsessed with, you get to dictate the terms. Well, Julio took it into his own hand and Shannon Sharp, and they played you guys. And he said, I'm out of here. He took it into his hands. He was tired of you guys constantly talking and leaking with no, you know, obviously you're not going to put your name on it, but it's clearly coming from the team. How are you going to trade him? And Julio was like, I'm out. I like it. But you'd be naive. We would be insane in 2021 to believe that Shannon Sharp cold called Julio Jones. Is it possible? Sure, I would be floored. If you said, John, you have to bet $5,000. Did Julio know or did he not know? Without hesitation, I'm putting $5,000 on Julio knew. For the mailbag, for your time with the Eagles, which player are you most proud of discovering, scouting? And on the flip side, are there any players that pounded the table on and they regret passing on? You know, the crazy thing is, like, I just did the college scouting for 1 year, and I guess I was pounding the table for them not to take Matt Barkley, and they ended up taking Matt Barkley. Now, I was kind of proven wrong because he ended up having a decade-long career, but I would not. I mean, he actually blew by me. The guy I'm most proud of is Andrew Sendejo. We ended up not signing him, but he was a guy. I went to Lewis Riddick, who was my immediate boss at the time. I'm like, you got to look at this guy. You got to look at this guy. He was playing in this random league. And I was like, basically my first year, I mean, technically I wasn't even full time. You know, they pay you $25,000, no health benefits. I mean, I work 20 hours a day. You work full time hours, more than that. But, and I just remember this Andrew Sendejo guy could play. One thing, I don't miss scouting at all, but I was pretty good. I knew what I was doing. You know, I could, most guys I said they could play, they could play. And Andrew Sendejo, and then when he went on to, I think he's still playing in the league. I still, whenever Andrew Sendejo makes a play, I text Lewis Riddick. A couple other guys were in the room too. They never forget. You know, I was on Sendejo. The reality is of quote-unquote discovering guys, that doesn't really exist anymore. You know, I guess maybe a late-round pick you could kind of put your neck for. But for the most part, you know, it's like recruiting. The diamonds in the rough don't exist anymore with the internet. My second question, since you're in the podcasting world, do you know anyone looking for an audio engineer producer for their pod? I'm looking for new clients. I don't. But keep hustling. People often ask, like, you know, whenever we get like a new advertiser or whatever, like, hey, can I get that contact? Well, yeah, you know how we got the with cold call. Business, get in the trenches. Pull up your fucking bootstraps, start making calls, start DMing. I'm not saying that to you, but just what I would do is I would go through podcasts on Apple iTunes and I would look at every podcast with over like 500 reviews, maybe even start at 250 if sports, whatever category, and find the guys' names, find them on social media and shoot them DMs. So if you want in on people's podcasts, because I bet most people produce their own podcasts, writing on like the Cowards of the world and the, you know, Pardon My Takes, but just the average guy probably produces their own content. Find podcasts that clearly have a little bit of a following that makes some money. Someone told me that 99% of podcasts, or excuse me, 1% of podcasts make 99% of the revenue. Because I would imagine most people, there's a million podcasts. Well, yeah, most podcasts don't make anything. What I tell people all the time, like, this ain't a passion project for me. It's how I feed my unborn children. Like, this is real life. And I'm lucky, you know, I'm able to make good cash doing podcasts, but I would recommend looking that way, finding people that generate money and try to get in with them. Now, it takes time. You know, it just takes effort. But you got to be, if you can sell, right? And you're clearly in the business, it seems like, of yourself. I am too. There's nothing easier in the world to do than sell yourself. It has to be the easiest thing in the world to do is to sell yourself. I've been doing it now for a decade. Really longer than that. Most people kind of do, right? Sell yourself on a date, sell yourself on an interview, sell yourself if you run a company, sell yourself if you're a sales guy. Like, it starts with you. I'm not being critical or anything. I appreciate your hustle. Who of the current NFL players would make the best future GM in the NFL? I think Tom Brady would be pretty elite. Underrated part about Tom Brady, you notice when he Instagrams, always Instagrams about his teammates. Always Instagrams about the offensive line. Like, he gets it, you know? He knows where his bread's buttered. You know, Richard Sherman has talked about it. I remember Richard Sherman telling me about Emmanuel Moseley. He's like, this guy can really play. And then he ended up, now he's a 49er starter. I think he's got a pretty good feel. You know, he's been around, obviously, the Niners for these last 3 years in Seattle forever. I think if Richard wants to go into it, he's going to either be a GM or he's going to be, you know, a top color analyst on television. But, you know, color analysts, like, obviously you can make Tony Romo money, but there is something pretty special about, like, John Lynch, you know, it's way cooler to be a GM. Way more work. Probably more money, too. I mean, John Lynch gets paid a lot, but it's a bigger deal being the general manager of the San Francisco 49ers than it is to be the number two guy on Fox, right? So if you can be the GM of team whoever, I would do that. So I would say Tom Brady, who will never do it. I think Richard Sherman might. Is Tim Tebow signing Urban's way to distract the media from a heavily focusing on Trevor Lawrence in training camp? It will ease the adjustment to NFL life. Thoughts? Not a terrible idea. I just think it's a business move. I think Shad Khan, I think Urban Meyer loves him. I don't think we need to overthink it. I think they're strictly doing it for to sell jerseys, and you know, Tebow just wants a shot. I really think it's that simple. Okay, that'll do it. Have a great Memorial Day weekend. Godspeed. Enjoy your life. Keep selling yourself. Keep hustling. Have a great weekend. See ya.